First Timothy 4 and verse 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, or even old preachers' fables, and exercise thyself. I know, I just lost you right there. Exercise. Some of you need an exorcism, but exercise thyself rather unto godliness, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. God says, accept what I'm saying here. For therefore, we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men. I like this, especially of those that believe. Christ died for all men. But he's especially your Savior if you'll accept that fact and trust him today. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. Young people, you could be an example of a Christian at a young age. In word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. That is Paul writing to Timothy, a preacher who was ordained into the gospel ministry. That's what verse 14 is talking about. Verse 15, meditate. By the way, verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee. I will say this, that God has given every one of us a gift to serve him. Period. I chose Brother Kettner to be the security guard out at the front door out there. Now, Brother Kettner's probably not going to teach a Sunday school class, and he's not going to keep the nursery. That's not his gift. But I'm going to tell you what, if you see Brother Sean Kettner, you're not going to try to force your way through that double door. God gave him a gift. I'm going to go back to the old man thing here. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. The Bible says in verse number 7 again, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. I want to talk about exercising unto godliness this morning. Let's pray. Lord, would you help us with this truth? I pray it to be a challenge to us. Help us to see what godliness even means and then how it applies to our life. Well, thank you for what you'll do. Lord, would you bless the bus church as they get started up today? And Miss Bonnie, as she leads that ministry back there. Then Brother Greg leading the children's church, the drive-in crowd. And would you bless their efforts today with teaching your word? And God, I pray we'll hear of good results in those two churches. Now, Lord, would you meet with us? Now, I wonder, Lord, if there's not some young person here today that they got on the bus and we're excited as can be they did. But Lord, if they sat and thought about it for a while, maybe they don't know you as their personal Savior. I pray, God, right now you would begin to speak to their heart. And I pray that today will be the day of their salvation. And Lord, we'll look forward to what you'll do. Challenge us from your word. And we'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated there. Exercise. To some, that word is a challenge. Let's do it. To others of us, that word makes us want to take a nap. Amen. Probably most, if not all of us, we've tried to exercise at some point in our life. And teenagers, when I was in high school, I went to Wills Point High School, Mighty Tigers, OTSS, OTS, OTS. I don't think they do that anymore. Only the strong survive. They don't do that anymore. They do it some. Y'all not old school. I went to Wills Point High School, not the school you guys are in. I went to the old building, but when I was in high school, I ran the mile, I ran the 2 mile, and I ran the hurdles. I weighed 135 pounds and that was wet out of the swimming pool, when I graduated from high school, but I enjoyed running long distance. And then when I went to secular college, I was in the Corps of Cadets or ROTC program there. And so we worked out every day. We were running across campus early in the morning, doing push-ups and all those sorts of things. So I worked out all the time or exercised all the time. And then I hit my 30s and 40s. And knees started hurting and the back started hurting. And then all of a sudden the recliner just somehow started looking really, really comfortable. Amen, Brother Duncan, you with me on this one? Some of you are good at working out. I know some of you do. I honestly, I've talked to my wife about me going and doing that. The reason I don't, one reason I don't want to get out of bed, but the other reason is I don't even know where to begin. I wouldn't even know what schedule to take. I do forklifts, you know, but Some of you are good at working out and exercising and staying in shape. And in fact, looking around, many of us in this room are in shape. Round is a shape. But I'm not here to talk about physical exercise today. So don't worry, if you're from my generation, I'm not going to go Richard Simmons on you. Thank the Lord for that one, amen. I want to talk to you about another type of exercise. You say, why? Because look at verse number 8. That first phrase is my life's verse. For bodily exercise profiteth little. I guess it does profit a little though, right? But I want you to look at verse number 7. Now in verse 7, we kind of looked at the first part, refuse, profane, and old wives' fables. We looked at that in last week's message, and let's not get caught up in some passed down tradition that's not a truth from the Word of God. But I want us to notice today that phrase in the last part of verse number 7, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Now the word exercise in that passage, in that verse, is used as a verb. And that means that it's a call to action. So when God says, I want you to exercise yourself, that means to be busy in action, to perform, to exert one's power or strength, to move or to busy oneself. So God says, I want you to exercise thyself rather unto godliness. God says, I want you to give effort to godliness in your life. Now, what is godliness? By definition, out of Webster's 1828 dictionary, the word godliness means this, a religious life, a careful observance of the laws of God and performance of religious duties, proceeding from love and a reverence for the divine character and commands. It means Christian obedience. Let me put that in a simple way. When God says, I want you to exercise yourself rather unto godliness, what he's saying is that because I love and respect God and his word, I'm going to give intentional effort in my life to lining up with that book and to doing things God's way. Let me repeat that, because that is critical to the entire message. When God says, all right, bodily exercise, a little bit of a running, a little bit of push-ups, a little bit of sit-ups, it'll help you some. Bodily exercise profiteth little. But he says this thing about exercising thyself rather unto godliness. He says, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. We'll explain that verse in just a moment. So he says, I want you to exercise. I want you to exert energy. I want you to put strength and effort into living a godly life. And so based on the definition of godliness, it means because I love and respect God and his word, I'm going to give intentional effort in my life to lining up with that book and to doing things God's way. Just like being in shape physically will not happen without a conscientious effort to exercise, I want us to be reminded today, adults and teenagers, that living for God and lining up with the Bible will not happen without an intentional, purposeful effort. You have to decide, just like you have to decide to get up and go work out somewhere, you have to decide, you know what? I want my life to line up with God's word. I want my home I want a home that is Christ-centered, that is centered around the word of God. Let me show you what the Bible says about godliness. Turn to Titus chapter 2 if you want to follow along in the Bible. If not, if you're in 1 Timothy, the next is 2 Timothy, and then Titus. And if you don't want to follow along, just listen to what the Bible says today. But what does the Word of God tell us about godliness? In Titus 2 and verse 11, the Bible says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now, there is a crowd out there today that tells you, well, you're saved, but the way you live doesn't matter. God died for your sins. You're under grace. You can do what you want. And any preacher that tries to tell you how to dress, what music to listen to, what you can and can't do, they're legalists. They're just in your business, and you ought to find you a church where they don't tell you that. Now, by the way, there are many churches out there today that won't tell you how to live. But the simple fact is, God says, I want you to give energy to living godly. I want you to give effort to lining up with the Bible. And God says, what the Bible says is that God tells us not to live ungodly. We're to deny worldly lust. We're to live soberly, righteously. That means right with God and godly in this present world. Back in 1 Timothy, the Bible tells us in verse number 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Look at 2 Peter chapter number 3 towards the back of your Bible there. 2 Peter after the big book of Hebrews. Then there's James. And 2 Peter chapter number 3. The Bible talks about the Lord coming back. The Bible talks about His will that people be saved. But it goes on to say in 2 Peter 3 and verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt away with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. You talk about global warming. God's going to burn this entire earth up one day after we've gone to heaven and after lost people have been cast into hell for eternity. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? Oh, so God tells us how we ought to live our life until that day. He says, in all holy conversation and godliness. He says, your behavior ought to be pure and clean and right and godliness. He said, because of the fact Christ is coming back, until that day, we as Christians ought to exercise ourselves, work at lining up with that book. Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. All right, so we see from the Word of God in several places that God wants us to live a godly life. He wants us to live by the book. Not our definition of a godly life. Not just as clean as we want to be. Not from tradition passed down to us. But what does the Bible say? But I got to give you this warning. And this is where many will jump off the train right here. If you decide I'm going to live a godly life, you're going to suffer persecution. Look at 2 Timothy 3 there and verse number 12. 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 12. Now, I'm going to ask you to read something with me in just a moment if you're there. 2 Timothy 3:12, the Bible says, yea, and what's that next word? All. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know what that means? That means if I decide that as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord and we're going to line up with that book, there's going to be some family that doesn't like it. And by the way, there are going to be some family that doesn't like it that, oh, we go to church and we don't have to do all that stuff. No one's teaching them that God said, exercise yourself rather unto godliness. You're going to be persecuted by some family that criticizes you. You're certainly going to be persecuted by friends and co-workers that don't believe the way you believe or haven't been taught the way you've been taught. But friend, listen, as long as we're being taught the Word of God, if God be for us, who can be against us? Look at 1 Timothy chapter number 6. 1 Timothy chapter number 6, the Bible tells us that there are some people that think that the more they have, the more spiritual they must be. And that's simply not the case. 1 Timothy 6 and verse number 5 says, we're picking up in the middle of a thought, but perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Now, we'll see it here in a few minutes, but if we will line up with that book, God will certainly bless our life because of it. But it's not enough that, well, we got everything we ever wanted, and look at this, and we believe in God, and we go to church on Sunday morning. So all that stuff about you got these rules for your kids, and you won't do this, and y'all won't allow that in your home. Or you just think you're more spiritual than us. No, we never said that. We're just trying to line up with God's Word. But just because you have more, and you're robbing God, and you're not tithing, God's not the one blessing you with that. Remember what Satan himself told the Lord, all these things will I give thee. And so he says that there are those that suppose that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. He says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Adults and young people, listen, we need to be content with what we have, and they'd be grateful for what God gives us. And when God dumps a good measure on you, wonderful, but let's be grateful for it, and let's be content with where we are in life. So if we choose to live godly, if we choose to say, all right, I want to line up with that book. I want to make sure that I line up with that book. This always reminds me of Brother Greg. Brother Greg got saved years ago and in our church here, and was a young Christian and just growing, and boy, he started tithing, and he would talk to me about the tithe. Tithe is 10% of your income, and he would begin to tithe, and he would always write that check for more. Always. Probably still does today. And he'd say, you know what? I just want to make sure I'm right with God. I'd rather be way right with God than just a little bit wrong with God. Amen. Man, we got people, and I'm glad you tithe, but we got people that will write it down to the half cent. Bless God, I'm not giving God a half a piece of copper more than he ever gave me. You know what we need to do? We need to get in that Bible. And we need to quit riding this fence and saying, where does the Bible say that? And wait a minute, God doesn't have to prove anything to you. If you know your Bible, the Bible says proving what is acceptable to the Lord. We need to quit riding that fence and just say, can you be too holy? Can you be too clean? Can you live too separate from this present evil world? I'm just going to get way over here. Call it what you want to call it, because I'm not surprised, because God said, yea, and all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. In these last days, there are some that will have the appearance of a godly life, but in private, there is no real effort to line up with that book. The Bible says it in 2 Timothy 3, and when it talks about the last days in verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. I believe that's the crowd, that right there in that verse, I believe that's the lost crowd sitting in church today. In many churches, having a form of godliness, but denying the power there. So they got the churchiness down. But when you deny the power thereof, what does that mean? Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greeks. I believe what that's talking about is they're denying the gospel. They're churchy, they're religious, they have a form of godliness, a form of lining up with that book, but they're not even saved. Look back in our text there in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Here's the good thing about living godly. We think, well, we're going to lose all our friends, all our family, we're not going to get to hang out, and they're going to talk about me, and they're going to do those things. They never were really your friend in the first place if they do those things. But look at the reward. For 1 Timothy 4:8, for bodily exercise profiteth little. You get a little bit of help with it. But godliness is profitable unto all things. Don't you want God to bless every area of your life? Listen here. Having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Listen, there are great rewards in heaven for those who will live faithfully to God's word. But he says also having promise of the life that now is. And Psalm 1 talks about that. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of God, and in his law doth he meditate both day and night. And it talks about us being like a tree planted by rivers of water, and our leaves shall not wither. Whatsoever we do, it shall prosper. I'm telling you that you're looking at it as, well, we won't be invited to that family reunion, and well, I guess they won't ever come to our house anymore, and we won't hang out. I'm telling you, the blessings of God are far greater than I was thinking of this morning, the blessings of God. And this is not, if you don't have these, you're not blessed. I was just thinking in my home, man, we have healthy children, and we have happy children. We have a good relationship, and our children have a good relationship with us, and a good relationship with people. And I believe I have holy children, not perfect children, but children that have a heart for God, who have been taught by mom and dad not to be fake, not to be phony, but to live for the Lord. And friend, those are the blessings of God. I don't have much money in the bank, but man, that's not about the dollar signs. God says, You know what? You can go out and you can run a mile, and that's great. That's wonderful. Got a family member online that's in another state, and he puts all this stuff about dieting and stay in shape and bless God, all this and that, but his kid never goes to church. You can raise your kid to have a six-pack abs. You can raise your kids to run a marathon. You can raise your kids to be as in shape as you want them to be. But friend, if you raise your kids without Christ, you've given them nothing. The Bible says that, yeah, bodily exercise profiteth little. Many of us need a little bit of that. But godliness will bless you in heaven. It'll bless you here. That's what the Bible says about godliness. Now, if I were to go down here to Snap Fitness, I always think of Kevin, our visitor on Thursdays, every guy that walks the streets here in Wills Point, he's always saying, Snap! Maybe he named that place. Maybe he saw the new building one day and said, Snap, what is that? And they said, there it is. If I were to go down here to Snap Fitness and ask somebody, what program can I use to get some good bodily exercise? Someone there probably would give me a list of things to do. I don't like to waste my time. I want to know what I'm doing. I'm really bad about not standing and talking to people because I'm just not a big talker. I want to be producing. I want to be doing something. I cannot stand around for 30 minutes and just talk. I just can't. Never been that type. I just can't do it. And oftentimes somebody will stop by and talk to me at the office. I'm working while I'm listening. I can multitask, but I'm also working at the same time. And I would work out. But in high school, they put us at the different stations and then they blew the whistle and you went to the next station. You know, you got a pretty good workout. Man, I'd go up there and I don't know, get on the treadmill and then think, all right, what do you do now? Ride the bike and what do you do now? Pull this thing. All right, well, there you go. But if I had somebody just tell me, here's the steps to take, I believe I'd get into it at least for a few days. So today I want to take our text and I want to give us a list of how to exercise ourselves unto godliness. All right, if we're going to do this exercise, preacher, how do we do it? Verse number 8, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. You want the blessings of God on your life? Having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Accept it, do it, make it a part of your life. I think I have 3 points today. Number one is this, the decision has to be made. The decision has to be made. You have got to decide, I want to live for God. Look at chapter 4 there. Look at verse number 12. Let no man despise thy youth. You say, well, he's preaching to young people today. No, I'm not. You're as young today as you're ever going to be again. You may be 80. You're as young today as you're ever going to be again. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. God says for every one of us as Christians to be an example, be a sample of Christianity. By the way, we are, no matter how we live our Christian life, when we claim to be born again and go to school or go to work, we are the sample of Christianity that many of those people, the only one they're ever going to take. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Let me ask you a question. If a child in this church followed you around for 7 days a week, would you set a right example of godliness for them? I believe this is important. I know we have bus church and children's church going on right now. We have workers back there right now. But oh, I just believe it's important that we set right examples. And not just because, well, someone's watching, but because we are exercising ourselves unto godliness. We're doing the best we can to line up with that book. But what if someone this week followed us around for 7 days? Adults, what if some teenager followed us around for 7 days? What about our attitude? What about our words and our conversations? What about our dress? What about our haircut? What about our music? What about our internet, our TV? What about our social media, our prayer life, our Bible reading? And the list goes on and on. Friend, just like an out-of-shape person has to decide to change things, so an ungodly child of God has to choose to wholly live for Christ and to line up with this book. The decision has to be made. I've got to go home and I've got to say, all right, it's time. It's time for a diet. I told my Sunday school class the lesson they got this morning. We're going through a series that on making choices. And this message really goes along with that in a lot of ways. And I'm not going to get into that part with you today. But friend, if I'm going to diet, I've got to go home and I've got to make the decision to do so. If I'm going to start working out, I've got to make the decision to do so. I'm like many of you in here. I've wasted money on the stationary bike. I've picked up the treadmill at the yard sale. I've got all that junk. I've had all that junk. And I don't know many of you got convinced about all that Bowflex and all that expensive stuff. It was going to change your life. There's something here every other month. You got something new that's going to change your life. Drink this. Eat this. Put this in your ear. I'm telling you, it'll change your life. You know, the way it changed our lives spiritually is we're going to have to make the decision to do so. Are you tired of living a double life? Are you tired of having to live a life where you hope no one ever catches what you said, no one ever sees what you looked at, no one ever knows what you did? Do you ever get tired of living that kind of life? Do you wonder why so many around you in church are happy, but you're not? Friend, listen, because there's joy in lining up with the Word of God. There's joy in being in the center of God's will. But the decision has to be made to line up with God's Word. Joshua told the children of Israel, choose you this day whom you will serve. Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, why halt ye between two opinions? You see a lot of people out there in the world today, and they seem happy. And of course, I wouldn't take anything by just by appearance. But then you see Christians that come to church, and they look about halfway miserable. But then you see the crowd that comes to church and they're happy and they're joyful and it seems like they never have problems. And boy, they get to do all these things and their life is blessed. Can I tell you, this crowd has problems just like this crowd and just like the world's crowd. Thank God that we've got God on our side, a very present help in time of trouble. But this crowd over here, during our trials and tribulations, yet we're still trying to line up with the book. We're still day by day wanting to make sure we're doing things God's way. As long as you ride the fence as a teenager and you say, well, you know, this is my crowd over here. Well, at church, this is my crowd. You're going to live a miserable childhood. As adults, why don't you just decide to grow up? Honestly, adults, why don't you just decide to grow up? You know what growing up means? It means I am who I am. I'm not going to change that, you know, what kids make fun of kids about. We ain't changing it as adults. We are who we are. You can't do anything about it. So you just learn, you live with it. Why don't we just as adults decide, you know what, I'm going to live for God, and if it means that we're not invited to that family get-together, if it means that couple doesn't want to come to our church, if it means to our house, if it means this and it means that, if it means that folks don't invite me to break time at the job, so be it. But I need the blessings of God upon my marriage and my children and my finances and my health and my home. I need the blessings of God far more than I need man's approval. And so I tell you what, I'm just going to make the decision that I'm going to begin to exercise myself rather unto godliness. I am going to give it effort to live for God. Well, wouldn't it be something if mom and dad in this room, husband and wife, wouldn't it be something if together you just got together and got alone with God and made that decision? You know what? It's time that in our home we start lining up with that book. The decision has to be made. Let me give you number two is this. The decision has to be made. Paul told Timothy, you've got to decide to be an example. You've got to decide you're going to start living for God. But secondly, the direction has to be given. The direction has to be given. All right, preacher, so I want to line up with that book, but how do I do it? Look at verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Look at verse 15. Meditate upon these things. What did he just tell him? He said, Timothy, you need to learn the Word of God. If we're going to line up with the Bible, we need to know what the Bible says. How do we do that, preacher? We're going to have to get serious about learning God's Word, number one. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're going to have to get serious about learning God's Word. Not only that, we're going to have to get sensitive to the Holy Ghost of God. John 14, 26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. That same John that God used to write the Gospel of John wrote 1 John, and in that book, I can't quote it, but he made this statement. He said, you have an unction, you have the Holy Ghost of God dwelling within you, and you need not that any man teach you. Here's the thing. Here's how God works. You say, I don't even know where to begin, and how do I learn all that, and I can't memorize all that. It's like going to law school, and you're learning all this stuff. No, no, no. If you will just get serious about getting in the Bible, reading a chapter, defining some words, learning what that teaches, I'm telling you, God will grow you quickly like you've never seen in your life. However, he also gave us the presence of the Holy Ghost of God in our life. And if we're serious about lining up with that book, you know what God will start doing? If you're sensitive to the Spirit of God, turn the channel. Hey, trashy mouth, stop. You're a Christian, and your kids are listening to that. Too tight. Don't even waste money on it. It's not going to honor God. What are you doing here? Would your wife approve? Would your husband approve? That's what the still small voice of God does. You say, all right, I want to make a decision to live for God. All right, I need some direction. Okay, here's the direction. Get serious about learning the Word of God and get sensitive to the Holy Ghost of God. And then let me say this also, it's going to shock some of you teenagers sitting in here today. This is literally on my page. We're going to have to sit up and listen during Sunday school and preaching time. The Bible says there in 1 Timothy 4, and verse number 16, in our text, Paul told Timothy, the preacher, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear. God wants us to learn the Word of God. And he said, Timothy, if you'll preach the Word of God, you're not only going to help yourself, you're going to help those that hear. Let me give you some verses about Bible preaching. Isaiah 58, verse 1. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. This nonsense you're seeing on TV today, where a guy sits on a stool and gives a lesson, that's a motivational speech. If it's biblical, it's teaching at the best. But there is a difference between teaching and Bible preaching. In Ezekiel 6 and verse 11, God said to Ezekiel, thus saith the Lord God, smite with thy hand, stamp with thy foot, and say, alas for all the evil abominations of the house of Israel. He said, Ezekiel, I want you to throw down. Ezekiel, I want you to shuck the corn. Ezekiel, enough of these motivational speeches. He said, stomp with your foot. Break the pulpit with your hands, what it says in the Hebrew. And he says to Isaiah, lift up your voice. Well, I don't like it when a preacher shouts. We're just following biblical command. He didn't say lift up your voice like a flute. Ezekiel 3 and verse 4, God said to Ezekiel, and he said unto me, son of man, pardon me. He said unto me, listen to these verses. Son of man, get thee into the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. By the way, that's all a preacher can really preach is thus saith the Lord. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel, not to many people of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Listen to this. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. You know what that is? That's the mission field where people are sitting up and listening today. Under straw hut roofs and rain all around them, and had to walk 3 miles to get to church. But we're like the people of Israel here. We've got our comfortable auditorium. We've got our good air conditioning. We've got our padded seats, and we get in church and we get comfortable. And I understand being tired. I understand from time to time. I was watching you Wednesday night after getting up at 4:30 for that fishing trip. And man, I was dozing a little bit, and Ethan was sitting across from me. I'm like, man, he's going to see the preacher sleeping during that. Didn't I tell you on Monday, Trent? I said, Trent, I'm watching Wednesday night. Don't bore me to death, all right? And no, I did tell him that, but they used to tell me that too. That was a good message, but I understand every once in a while. But I'm saying some church members, preaching just doesn't matter to you. Preaching ought to matter to us. And it ought to matter to our kids. The Bible says that that foreign field, they'd listen, but the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. By the way, that's it. Your problem's not with the preacher, your problem's with God. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. What does that mean? Shameless and don't care. He said, behold, I've made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy foreheads. I think that means I put wrinkles all in it, your forehead. Fear them not. I love it. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart and hear with thine ears. By the way, the most passionate preaching comes from a preacher who God spoke to first, who preached to himself first, as Spirit of God did as he was preparing the message. And God says to Ezekiel, and go and get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. So I'm saying to you today that God says, I want you to exercise yourself. Put effort towards godliness. Put effort towards lining up with that book. Well, if we're going to do that, the decision has to be made. I have to decide, all right, it's time for me to start living for God. Secondly, the direction has to be given. I have to learn what God wants. How do I do that? I need to be in the Bible 7 days a week on my own, prayer and Bible study. You say, God never speaks to me. He spoke a lot of pages you're not willing to read. He has spoken to us, no doubt about it. I've got to get sensitive to the Holy Ghost of God. I've got to start praying. Everywhere I go, I need to be under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. God, if this is the right vehicle for me, open the doors. If it's not, don't give me peace about it. To him that doubteth is damned if he eat, for he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Ask God. God, I'm going clothes shopping, but I don't want to try on something at 45 that I might have worn at 25. And I don't want to squeak into church. I want to be a good example. I don't want to have to constantly be pulling my skirt down below my knees. I want to be a good example as a lady to the young ladies walking around our church. I don't want to wear something that really, I either need to go on that first exercise a little bit, or I need to get bigger clothes, but I need to not wear painted on clothes. And I promise you, Spirit of God's going to say, psst, you're right about that. But we don't care. It's about us and our flesh. And God says, you quit worrying about you. That's that bodily exercise. He's not saying not to exercise, but he's saying, you're all worried about you. He says, I want you to be concerned with me. The decision has to be made. The direction has to be given. If we'll read the Bible, if we'll listen for that still small voice of God and pray and ask God to guide us in every area of our life, if we will sit up and listen as the Word of God is taught and preached, God will direct our lives. And the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. The last one is this. Number one, the decision has to be made. Number two, the direction has to be given. Number three, dedication is the key. Dedication is the key. Are you all the way in or not? Are you willing to suffer persecution, have some critics? Are you willing to lose close friends and family because you choose to live for God? Paul said to Timothy in our text there in chapter 4 and verse number 15, he said, give thyself wholly to them that thy profiting may appear to all. That thy profiting, bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. He said, just get all the way in. Give thyself wholly to them. Take heed unto thyself, verse 16, and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. Give thyself wholly to them. Continue in them. Dedication to living for God is the key. I've seen it over the years. I've seen a family get in church and it's hit and miss, and it's be here one Sunday and miss a couple Sundays and then come back one Sunday and then they're here Sunday morning and Sunday night, and then maybe they miss the next Sunday morning, but they come in Sunday night, and then a couple weeks later they pop in on a Wednesday night, and then next thing you know they come into Sunday school on Sunday morning, but then they're not here for 2 weeks, and you're like, man, they're so close, and then all of a sudden they you could tell when they've gotten over that hump, when they've made that decision, and it's Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, and they're growing and they're learning and they're living for God, and their kids are a part of the youth department, and they're happy in the Lord. How? Because the decision was made. We're going to line up with that book. And they decided, you know what, let's just do what everybody else is doing until we learn some direction on our own. Let's just get in there. And I mean, I don't know why they dress like that. I don't know why they act like that. But I tell you what, something good must be going on. They seem happy and they seem blessed. The direction has to be given, but dedication is the key. Bodily exercise helps some. But living for God is going to save you and those that come behind you from a lifetime of sorrow and pain. Godly living will produce a blessed life. And that's why God says, okay, Christian, I'm glad you're born again. I'm glad you're saved. Now I want you to do some exercises. And we say, oh, no, that takes work. I mean, the free gift of salvation, I take that. But God says, I want you to work at living a godly life. Now what I want you to do is take your Christian life. Or now what I want you to do, God says, what I want you to do is let me take your life. Christian life to the next level. God will do it. I promise you. He'll take you places you've never been. You just decide, I'm in. I'm in on this thing. I am in. I love people and I love lost people and I love lost family members and I love the saved ones who don't see like me. We're not going to fight. We're not going to argue. But I'm telling you what, I'm going to line up with that book. And God will bless your life for it. Maybe there's someone here today and you don't know the Lord as your Savior. Adult, teenager, look back in your life and you don't know it. You cannot remember a moment where God got a hold of your heart about your salvation. Somebody took a Bible or took a gospel tract and told you how to be saved and you accepted the Lord. If you don't remember that time in your life, I pray that right now today would be the day of your salvation.